It's been a while since the last major computer virus outbreak. The last one was last year, when the computer virus known as Code Red infected millions of computer users. Most recently, there have been stories in the media about a new virus outbreak. It's called W32/CLES-G. It's a low-risk virus, but the virus made headlines anyway in most technology sections around the world. Helping sell the virus threat were antivirus companies themselves, issuing press releases and spreading the hype. I spoke with David Perry, Global Education Director for Trend Micro, an antivirus software firm that makes penicillin. He's worked with computer viruses for 10 years, with most of the major antivirus computer firms. Among the questions I asked him was, do antivirus software companies hype computer threats to sell more products? And really, should computer users be so afraid?
I started off by explaining viruses to people who were afraid of what was happening to their computers, and I believe that the fear is overrated as a constructive force in the world. I think that people are really better served by having an accurate idea of what's going on than by being afraid of computer viruses.
Virus scares are usually leading stories when they hit the newspaper. Why do you think that is?
It's a dramatic situation. It's something that's brand new. There's a sense of imminent danger involved. People are afraid. They are looking at this here. We're finally coming to grips with the idea that information is property, which is very true. Information is property. And here we are, we're looking at our information, which is property, and what we can see from it is that a bored 15-year-old kid halfway around the world can reach his hand into my computer and compromise the security of the data that I have there. Whether we're talking about kids, if indeed we can go on calling them kids, because a lot of them are not children, right? They don't know who I am. They don't care who I am. They're not directly attacking me. Yet the effects of the computer virus can wipe out, you know, the data in my system. So that's a dramatic idea. And in fact, I think the reason that they are so appealing as a news story is that really the whole thing, the whole idea of the computer virus comes to us from fiction. Did you know that there were fictional computer viruses before there were real ones? The computer virus was invented in a novel called Shockwave Rider by John Brunner in 1975. The first real virus wasn't until 1987. It's not surprising that it's a dramatic sort of a thing. You know, 100 million people get the love letter virus on their desktop. The headline news has been in the era since Melissa and Love Letter, when we've had what they call mass mailing worms, which are these, you know, big infestations that actually touch the lives of millions of people. Right now there's a virus out called CLES.G, and I wouldn't have ever reported this thing in the first place. I've talked to a couple of reporters about it because they asked to, but I didn't make one call out to anyone to discuss it whatsoever, because it was just not worth it. 25,000 people in 24 hours, that's an infinitesimal fraction of the 300 million computers that are connected to the Internet.
Which part of that is the media, and which part is that the software companies that issue press releases on those?
I would say that at this point, I could give equal culpability on this particular virus. I mean, it is spreading a little rapidly. That's interesting to us, you know, but it was really not that strong of an alert. We put it in what we called a medium alert because it was in more than three continents of the world. So there are a number of criteria that it has to meet to be given an alert level. And it was certainly not a red alert at any time. It wasn't anything that we were asking people to do anything proactive to prevent happening on their systems. So the media, gosh, I can't speak for the other antivirus manufacturers in the world, although I have worked for a lot of them over the course of the last dozen years. I can't speak for the media. What I would say is that probably this one was overreported a little bit because it had been a long time since there was a computer virus story, and since we had an infestation here and we had several industry pundits calling it a bad outbreak, that people reacted to it, the media reacted to it. So I would put most of the culpability on this one on other antivirus vendors, but I'm not willing to name them by name. Is that fair?
Yeah, no, that's fine. Is there a correlation when a big virus hits between the sales of antivirus software in the news?
Really, to tell you the truth, the real game in the sales of antivirus software is in the world of corporate America. the retail software really doesn't mean that much to the profitability of any of the big companies in the industry, believe it or not. And what is important is that all of the people who need, you know, this large-scale antivirus protection, it's all, it's not a run down to the store and buy it. It's something that contracts are written for and everything, right? So it's really not that, not that big of a deal. And we've been accused in the past that, you know, look, you guys, the your stock price goes up. Well, this is true of everything in the world. Your stock price goes up when you're in the news and people pay attention to the business that you're in. Or they will say, well, you know, people are all downloading your pattern file and you make a lot of money off of that. Well, like, no, no, no. You, people are downloading your, the pattern file, but the pattern file is a cost to antivirus manufacturers and not a profit-generating item. The you know, you buy the antivirus software, you get a whole year of those pattern files, right?
Mm-hmm.
So where is the profit that I get because you're coming to my website and downloading it? There's no real profit motive involved in that per se.
You've worked for other antivirus corporations. Do they sometimes overhype something on purpose?
I think that there have been a lot of people who have overhyped viruses on purpose, a lot of them. Not just in the antivirus industry, but, you know, people, you know, who work, you know, industry pundits who speak for the whole computer industry, government officials, people in, you know, various educational and other strata where they're, you know, responsible for reporting different sorts of things. Lots of people have overhyped viruses. I remember Code Red. You remember Code Red last year?
Mm-hmm.
I have an article that I you know, downloaded about Code Red where this this guy, and I'm not going to say who he is, was up in front of the public saying that this was going to cause the Internet to melt down and that the Internet was going to go offline. And not only was it going to go offline, it was going to go offline at such and such a date and at such and such a time at like 4:35 in the afternoon on next Tuesday. And I was thinking, like, this is absurd. You know, if you really knew what you were talking about, you wouldn't make such a prediction because even if you knew it, because it could happen a minute later or a minute earlier, you have no idea. You know, you're not in that much control of the situation. Things aren't that. And in fact, the Code Red was not that big of a deal. It did not shut down the Internet. It was certainly startling from a new technology point of view. And sometimes that's why people get coverage for new viruses, is that they are interesting new technology. But the media seems mostly interested in the virus as an outbreak phenomena. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You know, virus as an outbreak phenomena. That means how many thousands of people got this virus right now, you know, on the first day or the first 2 days. And that's what's, as if that's what's important about it. And really, out here in the world of we're counting, you know, what happens with viruses, nobody, and I mean absolutely nobody, knows how many people were infected by any virus ever with any degree of accuracy. Most of the customers don't tell us that they're being infected up front. We do have some customers who tell us. We are able to extrapolate some things from that. But certainly none of our competitors tell us if their customers are infected. We don't tell them. So there's a situation where no one really has the big data. No one knows how many people are infected by this or that virus ever. And as a result, you know, you see people making predictions about, you know, you'll read in the newspaper that, you know, this prediction company or this economic modeling company says that this particular virus cost the world $2.6 billion. And those of us who track these things look at that and say, well, how can they possibly know anything? Not only that, I don't know anybody that they've ever asked, you know, anything. It's a very strange sort of a situation where you've got people making all kind, not just dire predictions and dire things, but people are you know, telling you how much money this particular virus cost the entire world. I don't know how they find that out. I have not one clue how they find that out in the world. And I would like to know, but that might be something that could be considered a sort of hype.
So bug reporting is creating its own industry?
Possibly. There's a very interesting thing. There are bug reports like NT Bug Track in the industry, and you'll see things get predicted in there with enough detail that I'm pretty sure that's where the virus writer is finding the stuff to write down. And then that's it shows up later as a virus, and it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. So it's interesting. My take on this is that the era that we're right in right now, where there's, you know, 15 new viruses every day, and it keeps huge tracts of scientists busy all the time, that's going to close eventually based on three things. First, the software will become... the operating system and applications will be more secure. Second, we'll get security software of all manner, you know, intrusion detection, firewalls, antivirus scanners, content security, built right into, you know, the infrastructure of the internet, and they will be better quality stuff, so they will detect greater quantities of things. You know, the antivirus software of today is vastly appreciated in value over the antivirus software of 10 years ago. The stuff that you use today is very sophisticated software. So as the technology advances and as the actual security of the original software that you're using, the operating system and everything, becomes more secure, and finally as users become more educated to the idea of data security, because it's the most basic security comes from the idea that information is property, and that's not a universally accepted idea with people yet, I don't believe. So as people, you know, protect the security of their information, as we get better tools, and as we get the infrastructure itself is better protected, I think that you'll find that people are better protected as well.
So despite the fact that sometimes virus threats are overhyped, people shouldn't throw out their antivirus software.
No, of course not. I mean, there's a definite need for protection in the world. What I would say, though, is important is don't panic. You know, this is we actually see a lot of people get into trouble, particularly end users, right, who are convinced that this virus is going to really hurt their computer, so they format their hard drive. We hear this all the time. It's almost never the appropriate reaction to a computer virus to format a hard drive. I've never given that out as a piece of advice to anyone with a virus that I've ever encountered, ever.
It's mostly common sense, right? Update your virus software.
Update your virus. You know what's funny, though, is we say, you know, it made a really glib phrase last year for me to say, don't take candy from strangers. But really, most of those mass mailing viruses of today are not coming from strangers. They're coming from people that you know. So be very careful before opening an attachment that comes on an email.
Why do you think people open those really annoying emails? What is it about, like, when someone says, I love you, they open it up and download an .exe file?
You know, I think that a lot of it is just reflex. I think we train ourselves. I mean, over the years, I have developed lightning typing since, you know, when I was I'm fairly old. I think I'm older than you. I'm 40, going on 48 years old this year. And I learned how to type in high school, and I was no good at it, right? Now that I have to type, you know, all the time, I'm really, really fast typist. Well, the same thing with, I'm a fast mouse guy, and I'm open email very, very rapidly, and it took me some time to develop an instinctual way to open email without automatically opening attachments, and I'm very careful with that, but that's an acquired skill. You know, and I think people have acquired the skill to buzz through their email and click on all the attachments. There's so much baloney that comes in your email. You know, they want to read get-rich-quick schemes and how you can lose 100 pounds in 2 hours and all of the things that come in your email, all of the spam that comes in your email, right? And they're just clicking on things to open it very rapidly. That's what I think. I think it's click without think is what infects most people.